You remember some of those songs that you sang maybe as a nursery rhyme type of song or as just a kid's song? And remember the song, There Was a Farmer Had a Dog, and Bingo was his name-o, right? And B-I-N-G-O, 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 and Bingo was his name-o, right? And then you would go, and Bingo was his name-o, then you would clap, right? And there's other verses to that song, which I find very interesting, but we only really knew the first verse, right? And Bingo was his name-o. So we have a farmer who has a dog, and the dog's name is Bingo. I mean, I know that guy. I know the farmer who had a dog, and the dog's name was Bingo. I have a picture of that guy. Here he is. That is my senior class picture. And I was a farmer, and that dog's name is Bingo. And I had a dog named Bingo. Now, Bingo was a very unique dog. That was taken in 1982, by the way. I'm just a little bit less everything, a little more here. So, yeah, but now we have to make it big on me, right? So I was 17 years old in 1982, and Bingo was my dog. Bingo had come to the neighborhood in my grandfather's environment, in my grandfather's house. My grandfather and my grandmother lived maybe 8 or 6 or 8 miles from us over on the country road. And this dog showed up at their house, and he was a stray dog. He was a stray dog, and it was late winter, early spring, and I would say probably 1979 or 1980. It was in that era when he showed up at my grandparents' house. Now, this was 40-plus years ago in the hills of Pennsylvania. Stray dogs had very little opportunity to move it along, or somebody was going to help them move it along. And my grandfather was at the stage where this dog, unnamed, this dog had kind of wore out his welcome. He was hanging around when he didn't want him hanging around. He was kind of whatever. He was not welcome at the Jelliff Estate anymore. And my young nephew who lived in the area actually just started to call the dog Bingo. So the dog now had been named by my grandfather's, one of his youngest grandchildren, and now my grandfather's starting to feel a little something that northern Pennsylvanians in 1970 didn't necessarily feel. And he was drawn to this dog, and he got this heart, I think, for this dog. Well, this dog is supposed to be a black and tan coonhound, black and tan and white, according to Bingo's coloring markings here. And so after he was beginning to wear out his welcome, even as my grandfather had a heart for him, and he was wondering what to do with this dog, now my little cousin is calling Bingo. And so he knew that I was a young man who had friends who had coon hounds. Coon hunting was big in that time in our lives, at least in the circle that I was running in. And those guys had store-bought dogs. I couldn't buy a store-bought dog. That wasn't in the agenda for me. So I would hunt with them, but I never had a dog. And my grandfather knew that I was interested in coon hunting, and he convinced me that this dog was enough coonhound that I needed to consider making him my dog. And so I took and I went over. I don't remember if I asked my dad permission. I figured, hey, Grandpa's good with it. It's got to be good down the ladder. So I went over and to get Bingo. And Bingo was at my grandfather's house. And I just said, hey, Bingo. And I opened up my truck door. And he come running. And he jumped up in my truck. I don't know if the dog's name was Bingo. This is a full-on mature dog. This wasn't a puppy. This is a full-on mature dog. This dog was at least 2 to 3, 4 years old at this time. And he come down and he jumped up in my truck. The dog was almost unsightly from the wounds and the scars and the scabs and just the malnutrition that this dog had experienced. He was a sight to look at. He was bruised and beaten and scarred and skinny and nameless and worthless and running wild. For several months I fed him, and several months I cared for him, and several months I went and took care of him day in and day out. I gave him a warm, safe place to thrive in, and I fed him, and I cared for his wounds. And over the course of the end of the winter and in spring, and over the course of summer, I really become full unattached to this dog. You can even see that dog and I had something. You can see it in that picture. That dog and I had something. And I can remember that it was in August of that year, in 79 or 80. In August, you could take your dog out and you could run him and see if he would chase coon. It was training season. You couldn't carry a gun with you. You couldn't shoot a coon at that time. You just needed to be able to run your dogs and see if they would run the coon. Well, I had taken care of this dog. I had lots of invested in this dog. As a matter of fact, you better hunt coon, because I don't know what to do with you now, because my heart is attached to you. And so we took him out the first night, and we set him loose, and I can still see the picture. If you're from Tioga County, it's up near the dome house, the roundhouse. And you know where that's at. If you're anywhere, Cheryl just smiled at me. She knows exactly where I'm talking about. And I went up, and my friend Tom and I, we went and we released my dog from inside the back of the truck. We wanted to see what he was going to do. Well, Bingo made a couple of laps around the truck and a couple of laps around the edge of the woods and down into the field a little bit and so forth and so on. And all of a sudden I heard, "Boo!" That still gives me chills. You got to be an old coon hunter for that to give you chills. And I said, and Tom looked at me, and I looked at him, and he says, "You've got to be kidding me. That old scraggly mutt of yours, I think he's running a coon." And we followed him, and he would break bay on track. He would break bay and break bay, and then all of a sudden when he'd get to the tree, he would just set loose, and he would just one continuous bay after another, after another, after another. And by the time we were done that night, by the time we were done, Bingo had treed 8 different coon. He never trailed anything other than raccoons. Never. He never trailed another animal. He never trailed. There were other dogs over the span of the years I would hunt with him that would run deer and then run fox and possums or something in their minds. I don't know where it was, but they would run and they would run and they would run. We picked up dogs 6, 8, 10, 15 miles away at times where they were running something. It wasn't raccoons. Bingo never run anything but raccoons. The dogs would bark trail, other dogs would bark trail, and the first thing in your mind is, "Oh, now what?" When Bingo would start to bark trail, you knew you better tie up your shoes, because you were in for it and you were going. I run behind that dog for miles and miles and miles, all the way from 11 o'clock to 2:30 to 3 o'clock to 4:30 to half an hour before I had to milk cows in the next morning. I was running after that dog. That dog, I shot hundreds of coon over that dog. He never run anything but raccoons. He was so faithful. He was so trustworthy. He was trusted to do his job. No matter what the other dogs were doing, no matter if they were falling short, no matter what kind of enticing scent would cross his path, no matter what, he was faithful. He could be trusted. Him and I had this thing going on. He could trust me, and I could trust him. When he barked, I moved. Because I was that sure that when that come alive, he was being faithful in what he had been called to do. Years went by and I hunted with that dog. He died on a Christmas Eve. It wasn't a good day. But I learned so much from that dog. I learned his faithfulness mattered. His trustability mattered. It not only mattered in his life, it mattered in other people's lives. Do you know how many porcupine quills I pulled out of other guys' coonhounds? Too many to keep count. You know how many I pulled out of Bingo? Zero! He was full on trustworthy. He was full on faithful. The Bible uses the word faithful over 150 times. And as I dove into those 150 times in the Bible, I could see God was showing me what faithfulness was through my dog. I could see it. I could see it was 30 years, 40 years ago, and it was as clear as it was yesterday. God was showing me through the pictures that I had in mind about this farmer who had a dog named Bingo of what it meant to be faithful and what it meant to be trustworthy. The vast majority of the time, it's used in reference of God and people. Faithfulness means this. It means firm and steady. Firm or steady. You can push the button. Firm or steady. It means loyal to an allegiance, a promise, or a vow. It means one who can be relied on. That's the Hebrew and the Greek definition for faithful. You can be relied on. You have an allegiance. You have a commitment to a vow. You're loyal to a vow. You're loyal to a promise. You're loyal to an allegiance. You're firm and you're steady. The Bible speaks of that 150 times. It speaks of that a lot about God and his faithfulness. And how he is faithful. And if I could interview Moses, I would want to say, Moses, I want you to talk about Deuteronomy 7:9 this morning. I want you to know therefore, when you said this, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. I want to know. And as I read through Moses, I got to see the faithfulness of God. And how God was there and he could be relied upon and how he was steady and how he was true. And when God spoke, things happened. When God spoke, move. Because God's faithful. Maybe I would, keeping his covenant of love. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. Maybe I would go to Psalm 100 and I would interview David and I would want to know, David, I want to know more about this. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God's faithfulness is not just for you and I. It was before you and I and it's after you and I. God is faithful. God is faithful. Maybe I would talk to Isaiah and he would tell me this. Oh, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things. Things planned long ago. God, when you said something was going to happen, it happened, God, because you're faithful. You are the faithful God. You're faithful for all generations. And when you speak, God, it happens. Maybe I would talk to Joshua and he says, now I am about to go the way of the earth. You know what that means in biblical terms? I'm not going to be here very much longer. You know with all your heart and your soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord our God has failed. Every promise has been faithful. Not one of them has failed. He never trailed anything other than what he was supposed to be trailing. He's never said anything that wasn't going to be fulfilled. He never let you down. He never did that. I'm about ready to go the way of the earth. But generations, you got to know. You got to know that in my generation, I never saw God be unfaithful. I never see one of his promises fall to the ground. I never seen God say anything and it wasn't true. God is faithful. God is firm and he's steady. and he's loyal and to an allegiance or this promises that he made, this vow. God is faithful. God is faith. God's faithfulness is not in question. What about us? What about my faithfulness? What about that? Because some of the 150 times in the scripture, it speaks about me. It speaks about us. God says, I am faithful. That's not the question. What about you? Are you faithful? How's your trustability? Can you be trusted? Can you be relied on? No matter what other individuals are doing, or no matter how other individuals might be falling short, no matter how many people are trailing something they didn't need to be trailing. How about you? Can I trust you? Are you faithful? Do you have trustability? God says, I have it for all generations. Nothing I've ever said has fallen to the ground. But what about you? No matter what, are you faithful? Will we be faithful to the course that God has got us on? Will we be on track? Will we stay on track with God? What about this faithfulness for us? Out of the 150 times of the Bible, I didn't start to say how many are for God and how many are for us. But there's a lot for each. And so I just got these facts about faithfulness this morning. About your faithfulness, about my faithfulness. God's good. God's got his faithfulness. God's got Moses as a witness. God's got David as a witness. God's got Isaiah as a witness. God's got Joshua as a witness. God's got witnesses about his faithfulness. How about me? How about you? Can God trust you to stay the course? Are you one of those dogs that are running deer? Are you one of those dogs that you get to there and you got a possum backed up against a tree? That drives you crazy after you've run 3 miles. Hypothetically, with my best friend's dog. Are you faithful? Are you trustworthy? Where's your trustworthiness? Where is it? Let me just throw a few things out there that I learned from faithfulness in the Scripture. Some of those 150 passages that are in the Scripture. I throw some out about God. Let me throw just some out about us. And just make a comment on some of these. Here it is. To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace be yours from God our Father. You know what that means? That is just part of their identity. Faithfulness needs to be part of our identity. You know how many times that we see that he's just referring to those people as faithful? Our faithfulness must be part of our identity. It's who we are. It's what we do. We are faithful to God. We are faithful to his ways. It should be what identifies us. It should be what defines us. I am faithful. And maybe people will say, I don't know what else to say, but he stays the course with God. He's faithful to God. And I think that's got to be part of our, it has got to be our identification that we are faithful. How about you? Is that described? And I'm not asking about this world. I'm asking if God sat down with you and had tea or coffee with you, would be one of the things. He said, God, I failed at this and I did this and I over here and I made a mistake and I didn't make this out. And he said, whoa. You're faithful. God, I'm not the smartest in the crowd and I'm not the sharpest tool in the box. And whoa. You're faithful. You're faithful. You're trustworthy. You got trustability. I can trust you. It's part of your identification. It's what I refer to you as. Faithful, trustworthy. I think it needs to be part of our identification. Amen. Over and over and over in the Scripture, we see people being referred to as faithful. It's who they are. It's essential. Our trustability must be a part of our faith journey. Or you're going to wish-wash back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Look at Revelation 2:10, another one of the 150 passages. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for all 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Faithfulness may lead you into rough situations. Do you know how many times my dog got in a tangle with a coon? Do you know how many times my dog endured rough terrain? Do you know how many times my dog was out there when it was near zero in temperature? Do you know how many things he endured because he was faithful? Because he wouldn't say no to coon hunting. It's the only thing he would not say no to. And he never said, well, Ed, it's you check the temperature? Why do we have to, Ed, why do we have to go? Do you see that hill? What if there's a coon at the top of that hill? It's raining tonight. He never said any of those things. He said, I'll be faithful no matter what I endure, no matter what track I have to be on, no matter what terrain I have to be on. And God, Jesus is saying to this church, be faithful even if it costs you your life. Even if it costs you your life, don't sway from your faithfulness. Don't sway from your trustability. Trust God. Trust what he's doing. And it could lead you in the valley of the shadow of death. But can I trust you no matter where I put you? Can I trust you no matter what the situation is? Can I trust you even if it gets hard? Can I trust you? Can I put you in somebody else's valley? Will you be faithful? I'm telling us right now, and I'm learning this in my life, faithfulness to God is going to put you in rough situations. But if rough situations push our faithfulness in and out, we will never have the identity of being faithful. We'll be faithful when it's sunny, not faithful when it's rough. Am I making sense this morning? Faithfulness. God said, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be trustworthy. I want you to be B-I-N-G-O. Listen, I tried to come up with an acrostic. I couldn't do it. How about this? Push the button for me. A faithful man will be richly blessed. Faithfulness produces a blessing. Now, wait a minute. You just told me it might get me in a rough situation. Figured out. That's God. Someday it's going to run you right into the tulips and roses and thornless roses and sunshine. Other days it's going to run you into sub-zero temperature when there's snow on the ground and there's a hill to climb. And somebody else's valley or your valley you're in the middle of and you need to be faithful. Some days it's going to lead you beside the quiet waters. Some days it's going to lead you in the green pastures. Some day it's going to lead you to when it's easy and you're going to be blessed for your faithfulness. It's going to be evident that I'm faithful and I can see God blessing me. More so than when it's rough, perhaps. I'm faithful, God, and I'm still having this trouble in my life. He said, I know. It's not about the trouble or the blessing. It's about your faithfulness. Are you trustworthy no matter what comes into your life? Can I bring tulips into your life and can I bring turmoil into your life? I'm just wondering, will your identity be faithfulness no matter what comes into your life? Or are you going to start running coon and start running skunks and start running possums and start running deer and start running bobcats and start running anything? Oh, you'll get a coon once in a while. But can I trust you? Can I trust you no matter what the environment is like? Can I trust you? Can I trust you when I bless you? Can I trust you when it's tough? Will you allow it to become part of your identity? I'm faithful to God. I will not be dismounted from this track with God. How about this? Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. There's no lack of self-confidence there. Hey, I'm a good guy. Hey. Woo. Not many people have problems doing that, he said. But who can find a faithful man or a faithful woman? Who can find a faithful dog? Who can find a dog that only runs raccoons? Who can find a faithful man? Who can do that? Who can find a faithful person? So faithfulness may be hard to find. Push the button. It's hard to find. Hey, I don't see anyone else being faithful. Guess what? Neither did Bingo. Didn't hurt his faithfulness. Do you know he was so faithful to me that I could call him off trail? Even if he couldn't see me. I could beller his name. If I could hear him, I could beller his name from up in the woods 400, 500, 600 yards away, and he would leave what he was doing, and he would come to me. He was faithful. Faithfulness is hard to find, God said. You may be the first one. I don't know what it looks like in my family. I don't know what it looks like in my workplace. I don't know what it looks like in my church. I don't know what it looks like around me. It's hard to find. Can you be the first one who will be faithful and identified by your faithfulness, no matter if there's tulips or if there's turmoil? Will we be faithful to God? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says this, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required of those who have been given a trust to what? Prove what? Faithful. Faithful is a requirement. What does God want from me? Faithfulness." I think I can make an argument. I'm not ready to argue in a bunch of theologians, but faithfulness may be the first thing that God wants from us, because that'll produce love for him and love for others. I just want you to do it my way. Are you tired of doing it your own way? Are you tired of running into a wall? Are you tired of tripping over the same thing over and over and over? Because if you're not tired of it, I am. God speaking. I require faithfulness. No matter if there's tulips or turmoil, I require faithfulness. Even if it's hard to find and you don't have someone else you can look at, I still require faithfulness. My parents were, I still require faithfulness from you. My pastors, I still require it from you. Stop, be still, and know that faithfulness is my requirement. It doesn't matter what people are doing around you. Is it going to be easier if there's other faithful people to journey with you? Absolutely. But it's a requirement no matter what. Let me jump just a minute into Matthew 25. Matthew 25 has a whole plethora of faithfulness statements. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. He entrusted them, which means he delivered something over to their care and to their use and to their management. He gave them something and he delivered it over to them for their use, their management, and for them to take care of. He gave them a talent, 5, 2, and 1. Just so we know, a talent in the Bible is how much a man could carry. In the Bible, it usually referred to about 90 pounds. And it was often used in the measurement of gold or silver. So 90 pounds of gold or silver was a talent. In today's market, that would be about $2.5 million per talent. So he gave one guy, what, $12.5 million. He gave another guy $5 million. And he gave another guy $2.5 million. What he's trying to get at here is what I have given you is of great value. Stop looking at what other people may have. Are you faithful with what you've got? Because everything you got that's from me, God says, is of great value. Minimum $2.5 million. Minimum $2.5 million. Will you be faithful with it? What was given to them was of great value. The parable goes on the next 15 verses. And verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. You know what that means? Come on in. I want to talk about what you've been doing with what I gave you. Because I gave you something of great value. And now I want to talk to you about what I gave you and what you did with it. And we know that the first servant went in, and we know that just the bullet points, he had abilities. He really did. He had abilities. But I find it interesting that his abilities weren't being called into account when he was given an account for what he had been given. He had abilities. You can push the button. He had abilities. He was given 5 talents. He went to work. He doubled the goods. He presented the master with a total purse. And what did he hear? Well done, good and abilitized person. No, faithful person. You were given something of great value and you were faithful with that. It is part of your identity. It doesn't matter if it was hard. It doesn't matter if it was tulips. It doesn't matter if it was turmoil. It doesn't matter. You did it. You did it. You took what I gave you, and you used it, and you put it to work. We can see the same thing for the second servant. He had abilities. 2 talents were given to him. He went to work, he doubled the goods, and he presented the master with a total purse at the end. And he heard, well done, good and faithful servant. See, he didn't whine about, hey, well, you gave that guy 5. If I'd have had 5, I could have been more faithful. He didn't hear that. He went to work with what God had given him. And he was faithful. God could trust him. His trustability was off the charts. And look at the third guy. He says this. He had abilities and he was given 1 talent. And he dug a hole and buried the goods and did nothing with the goods and presented the master with the 1 talent and all this of excuses. And he got this. You wicked and lazy servant. I gave you something of great value and you did nothing with it. Don't you know I require faithfulness? Take his talent and give it to the faithful one. Because I require faithfulness. Can I give you just the facts? 5 faithful facts as I end today. Faithfulness is work. If you think you're going to coast through faithfulness, you got the wrong faithfulness. I never saw my dog coast through his faithfulness. I saw him bleed. I saw him get his ear ripped up. I saw him take a hold of a coon that could have took a hold of me. He worked. Never coasted. You're not going to coast. Well, I'm not going to coast. We're not going to coast through faithfulness. Faithfulness is work. Number 2, faithfulness is better than ability. That was a new one for me, and I think that's true, and I'm not undone unpacking that yet, but they were rewarded for their faithfulness, not their ability. God's not asking for you to have more ability. He's asking for our faithfulness. He doesn't trust us more if we have more ability. He trusts us more if we have more faithfulness. We're faithful. Faithfulness, back please. Faithfulness is better than ability. Faithfulness is work. The third one is this. Faithfulness can increase ability. Are you faithful? Don't try to get more ability. Spend time being faithful to God and let God give you more ability. More ability is not going to entrust you with more. Your faithfulness will entrust you with more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness can be stifled. I don't know what's going on in that third servant's life. I don't know what was going on in his life at all. I don't know what was happening. Why? He was fearful. He was lazy. He didn't know. He was ignorant. I don't know. And there's a whole plethora of reasons. Maybe he didn't. He thought he could just bury this but not use this. Maybe there wasn't anybody else around him that was faithful. Maybe he didn't know how to use it. But the word in the Greek that is translated lazy actually can be translated irksome. You irked me. So whatever is causing God to be irked, he said, I don't want to have a conversation with God. He said, man, you irked me. Oh. I want to have a conversation with God. It says, well done. You were faithful. And faithfulness can be stifled. Faithfulness can be stifled by the flesh, can be stifled by the world, can be stifled by those people around us, can be stifled by the enemy, can be stifled by the devil, by Satan and his dominions. He can be stifled. Be careful that it's not stifled in your life. Faithfulness will be called into account. You will. I will. And I almost left this one out because I'm not trying to motivate anybody by fear, but it's the truth. It's just truth. You're going to give an account for your faithfulness. Are you faithful? God has entrusted so much with us. He entrusted us with I got a whole list here. Just let me finish with this. He entrusted us with the ability to speak life and grace into people's lives. How you doing with that? Have you dug a hole and just thrown it in a hole and say, I'll get that someday, and God shows up in your life and says, hey, how you doing with that grace talk? Well, just a minute. Pretty good, God. You didn't even use it. I gave it to you. I gave you the ability to resist temptation. You took that from me and you buried it in a hole and you're living like hell. What is wrong with you? Why didn't you use that ability that I gave you? I've given you the ability to be forgiven and to forgive. And you've got that buried in a hole somewhere. I've given you a physical provision. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? God give you the ability to love and respect your spouse, your children. What are you doing with it? Do you know that God requires faithfulness with what he has given you? Do you understand that one day we're going to give an account for what we do with what he has given us? God has given us the gospel. What are we doing with it? He's given us that truth that Jesus loves you. That your sin separates you from God. God's got you. Forgiveness is in the wings. Let him forgive you. Let him reinstall the relationship that he wants with you into your life. What are we doing with that? Aren't you glad the person that led us to Jesus didn't bury it in a hole? Aren't you glad that the ability to pray was not buried in a hole by a wife? I'm telling you one thing. Cheryl's going to stand before the Lord one day. And he said, man, that prayer stuff, woo! You got that. Your jerk husband, woo! He was out there for a while. And you had to put up with him, I know. I wouldn't have, but you did. Thank you. When you got others to pray, man, you didn't bury that prayer, that ability of prayer. You went to the throne room for him over and over and over for 10 years. Plus, you went to the throne room for him, and one day, whoo. I've given you the ability to pass on your faith to the next generation. What are you doing? I've given you the ability to worship. What are you doing with that? Okay, maybe the worship team has $12.5 million worth. But God given you $2.5 million worth of worship. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? What are we doing with it? There was a farmer who had a dog, and Bingo was his name. And thank you, Lord, that even though when I was lost, you were teaching me. And 40 years later, I get to look at one dog and see how faithfulness looks in God's creation. Stand with me. God, I love you, and I know that that's because you first loved me. And Lord, I could say, man, you took a risk on me, but God, you knew. You knew, and even if I rejected you, you'd still would love me. And God, even though if I'm not faithful, you're faithful, I get that. But I don't always want that to be the story, God. I want you to be able to look at us. I want you to be able to look at me. I want you to be able to look at us as new lifers. And say, oh man, they're not burying the talent. They're using it. And one day I believe we'll hear, God, well done, good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you and you changed the world with it. You took what I gave you and you changed your spouse with it. You took what I gave you and you changed with it. You took what I gave you, and your children are now being altered by your faithfulness to what I have given you. God, you've entrusted us with so much. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would find us faithful. Our trustability would be what identifies us, no matter if it's turmoil or tulips. May you find us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.